Thank you so much. Let's take our Bibles tonight and look back to the Old Testament, if you would. Genesis chapter number 13. Genesis chapter number 13. We're going to read there verse number... Maybe we'll start in verse number 14. I want to ask this question tonight. Are you walking in the wilderness or are you walking in the land of inheritance? Are you walking in the wilderness or are you walking in the land of inheritance? Genesis 13 and verse 17, beginning of verse 14, said, "The Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, Lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land which thou seest to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land, in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee." When God called Abraham, God called him from Ur of the Chaldees. God called him out of his one place and said, "I'm going to take you someplace." And he didn't necessarily know at that point where he was going, but he was following God, and he was going to go, and God was going to give him a special place. God was going to give him a land for an inheritance. God was going to make of him a great nation. And I love the words there, verse 17. He said, "For I will give it unto thee." God had something that he wanted to give to Abraham. And God had a place for Abraham. And just like that, God has some places or some things for every one of us. In our spiritual lives, in our Christian lives, there are some things that God has for us. There's an inheritance that God has for us. And we need to seize what God has for us. Turn with me on over to Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 24. Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 24. Are you walking in the wilderness? Are you walking in the land of inheritance? I think it'd be far better to be in the place that God had promised. Far better to be in, here's a land. Here's something I want to give to you. Here's something I want for you in your spiritual life, in your Christian life. And we need to seize that. We need to take and go to the things that God has for us in our spiritual lives. Deuteronomy there, chapter 11 and verse 24. It says, "Every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours, from the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea, shall your coast be." God, again, had something, a place that he wanted to give to Abraham. We of course, know it now as the Promised Land, Canaan Land, but it was a land of inheritance for Abraham. It was a land of inheritance for God's people, something that God wanted them to have. Turn with me over to Joshua chapter 5 and verse 6. Next book of the Bible there, Joshua chapter 5 and verse number 6. You found it there, Joshua 5 and verse... Let me slip over and set by Jess. We will include you in the family. Joshua chapter 5 and... You look so lonely over there. Joshua 5 and verse number 6. The Bible says, "For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness, till all the people that were men of war which came out of Egypt were consumed, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord sware or promised that he would not show them the land which the Lord sware unto their fathers that he would give us, a land that flows with milk and honey." And some of you that know this Bible story, you know that the first time when they came to the Jordan River, and the first time they came and they sent in the spies to spy out Canaan land. You know that little song, 10 were bad and 2 were good? Moses sent them in to spy on the land. And Joshua and Caleb, they come back, and they all really came back saying, "It's a wonderful land. It is incredible." The clusters of grapes that they carried back were enormous, so that two men carried a stick between their shoulders. And can you imagine big clusters of grapes flowing down from that? It was a wonderful land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the Bible says, and a great place that God wanted to give them. But some of those spies said, "What about the giants in the land? And what about the enemies in the land? And they were scared and they were afraid and they ended up not going into the promised land. How sad. To think that here was something that over and over again God had repeatedly told His people, I want you to have this land. This is going to be an inheritance for you. That promise had been made from God. Many times been made to Abraham. Moses knew that. But still, the people became afraid and they didn't go in and seize what God wanted for them to have. And we read about here, there in Joshua 5, it's a reminder of how that previous generation ended up wandering in the wilderness for 40 years because of it. A whole generation of adults died off. The Bible teaches that really any of them over the age of 20, they died off in that wandering in the wilderness, and only the younger generation, the next generation, plus Joshua and Caleb, ended up getting to go into the promised land later. Why? Because they disobeyed. When God wanted them to have this inheritance, they didn't seize it. When God wanted them to have this inheritance, they were afraid of the giants in the land, and so they didn't go in and seize what God had for them, what God wanted to give them. Are you wandering in the wilderness, or are you walking in the land of inheritance? Go over to Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14. Joshua 14 and verse number 9. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly or completely followed the Lord thy God. A good promise that's they're being reminded of there in that chapter, of a promise that Moses had made, that if they had wholly followed after God, then God was going to give them something, a land for an inheritance. Go over to Joshua chapter 18 and verse number 8. Joshua chapter 18 and verse 8. It says, and the men arose and went away, and Joshua charged them that went to describe the land, saying, go and walk through the land and describe it, and come again to me, that I may here cast lots before you for the land. Lots for you before the Lord in Shiloh. And the men went and passed through the land and described it by cities into seven parts in a book, came again to Joshua, to the host at Shiloh. And Joshua cast lots for them in Shiloh before the Lord, and there Joshua divided the land unto the children of Israel according to the divisions, according to the tribes. Listen, God had wanted them to have that land. God had an inheritance for them, an inheritance that God wanted Abraham to have, an inheritance that He wanted Abraham's children to have, an inheritance that He wanted, you know, the people of Israel. We know it's people of Israel, sometimes where that name come from. Well, you know, the Abraham, and his son was Isaac, and his son was Jacob, who God later changed his name to Israel. And then we think of the tribes of Israel, the people of Israel, the Hebrew people, the Jewish people. God had an inheritance for them. Some lost it. Some disobeyed God when God was saying, I want you to go in, and they became afraid, and they lost it. That generation died off in the wilderness. Later, finally, there was a generation that went in and seized what God had for them. God did help them. When they went in, God did drive out the enemies. And the land was then divided up amongst the tribes of Israel. Are you and I, are we sometimes just walking or wandering in the wilderness? Or are we walking in the land of inheritance? God has an inheritance for us. Let me say this. Turn with me over to 1 Kings chapter number 8, if you would. 1 Kings chapter number 8. Just look at one more section of verses here. 1 Kings chapter 8. And then I just want to share with you some practical points, but I believe spiritual points of some things that God wants for us. An inheritance, a spiritual inheritance. 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 33. 1 Kings 8:33. The Bible says, when thy people Israel be smitten down before the enemy, because they have sinned against thee, and shall turn again to thee, and confess thy name, and pray, and make supplication unto thee in this house. Then hear thou in heaven, and forgive the sin of thy people Israel, and bring them again unto the land which thou gavest unto their fathers. When heaven is shut up, and there is no rain, because they have sinned against thee, if they pray toward this place, and confess thy name, and turn from their sin, when thou afflictest them, then hear thou in heaven, and forgive the sin of thy servants and of thy people Israel, that thou teach them the good way wherein they should walk, and give rain upon thy land which thou hast given to thy people for an inheritance. If there be in the land famine, if there be pestilence, blasting, mildew, locust, or if there be caterpillar, if their enemy besiege them in the land of their cities, whatsoever plague, whatsoever sickness there be, what prayer and supplication soever be made by any man or by all the people Israel, which shall know every man the plague of his own heart, and spread forth his hands toward this house, then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive, and do, and give to every man according to his ways, whose heart thou knowest. For thou, even thou only, knowest the hearts of all the children of Israel, that they may fear thee all the days that they live in the land which thou gavest unto their fathers. Go down to verse number 49. Then hear thou their prayer. Actually, verse 48. And so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive. I want to see that returning to the Lord. Verse 49. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause. And forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Lord God. It's awesome, really, in scriptures how God set apart and God chose the Hebrew people, the Jewish people, to be an inheritance and to be his people. But I thank God that I, in knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, am a part of his inheritance. I'm a part of the bride of Christ. We are all very special and significant to God if we are saved. And to think that God has allowed us to know the gospel, us to be saved, and what a glorious thing it is that we get to make up the bride of Christ, and we are his and we belong to him. But you know what? God also has some things for us. God has an inheritance for us. There are some things that God wants to give his people. Let me make these few statements quickly tonight. Number one, God wants to give his people an inheritance. God wants to reward our righteousness. God wants to bless our obedience. God wants to do good things for his children. To think that God wants his people God intends for Christian people to be miserable is just silly. I understand that we can go through trials in life and difficulties in life, but God wants his people to have joy. God wants his people to have good things. God wants to bless our obedience and reward our righteousness. Not only that, but God, a few things here. God wants to give us. God wants everyone to possess an inheritance of a home in heaven for all eternity. I'm sure of that. I don't for a minute believe any kind of theology or teaching that would say that God wants some people to be saved, but God doesn't want other people to be saved. That's just mind-boggling to me. That's just crazy. God sent his son Jesus Christ to die for the whole world. And to think that God could possibly come even into my own family and God could say, well, I want this son to be saved, but I don't want this son to be saved. There's no way I'd ever believe that. No, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to him for repentance. God's will is that every man would be saved, but we understand not every man will be. Because some reject Christ, and some reject the gospel, and some reject God. But you know what? God wants people to possess that inheritance of salvation. God wants us to possess that inheritance of a home in heaven. that there would be a place reserved for us and a home in heaven reserved for us. Not only does God want us to have that place, that inheritance of a home in heaven for all of eternity, God wants His children to have an inheritance of rewards in heaven. There are rewards in heaven that God wants us to have. For Ashley Johnston, there are some rewards that God wants your life to be lived, where God can mold you as a vessel of honor unto Him, that you one day earn and receive the rewards that God wanted to give for you. Now, you can lose those rewards. You can forfeit those rewards. You can live in such a way that you never receive those rewards. Or you can say, I'm going to seize that inheritance. I'm going to claim it. I'm going to live for Christ. God wants His children to possess an inheritance of a home in heaven for all eternity. And He wants us to have an inheritance of rewards in heaven. Not only that, but here on earth, God wants His people to possess the inheritance of having the fullness of His power. The fullness of His power. God wants us to know His Spirit and the fullness of His Spirit. People don't seemingly maybe even preach about it maybe as much as preachers used to decades ago. R.A. Torrey and D.L. Moody and lots of different preachers from 100 years ago would have written a lot of books and a lot of other preachers really about the fullness of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit. And even some great preachers I knew when I was younger, they preached a lot about the power of the Holy Spirit of God and knowing God's power and God's fullness in our lives. God does want us to know His Spirit. He wants us to be filled with His Spirit, controlled by His Spirit, and to know the fullness of His power. Not only that, but God wants us to have an inheritance of having our prayers answered. Wouldn't that be a wonderful inheritance? Having your prayers answered. That your children can look and say, God answered our prayers. That you can look to God and say, God has been answering my prayers. I need prayers for things in your life. Maybe needs that you have. Maybe situations that you need God to help you figure out, or things you need God to work out. God wants us to have the inheritance of having our prayers answered. So God wants to give His people an inheritance, I said. Number two, we must claim our inheritance. We must claim our inheritance. I don't want to wander in the wilderness. If God wants me to know a life that is a victorious life. Listen, in the Christian life, the crossing over of the Jordan River, sometimes there was on occasion of making a song written in the songbook, an old hymn, that talked about really crossing the Jordan River being like salvation and so on. But I think in the Bible, really crossing the Red Sea is a far better picture of salvation. God brought this people out of slavery in Egypt, out of bondage in Egypt, and that represents salvation. God bringing us out of sin, God saving us. But then to cross over the Jordan and to enter into the promised land or Canaan land, to me, that's a Christian living the victorious Christian life that God wants us all to have. Because you know what? A Christian can live a life where they're not having a lot of victory. A Christian can live a life where they're not knowing the joy of their Lord, the Lord in their life that God wants them to know. And that's sad. Sometimes maybe people could even testify at times in their life where they maybe went away from the Lord or they disobeyed God in their life. And you know what they maybe look back and say it felt like? Felt like just being out in the wilderness for years. Now, we've had people in our church over the years and known people and had people even give their testimony. We've talked, and they know, you know, I was saved when I was younger and there was a day when I loved the Lord, but, you know, I didn't listen to something or I got away and I got away from the Lord. So maybe a lot of wandering. Maybe a lot of years kind of, but if you're wasted in the wilderness, can I say God wants you to enter into the promised land? God has an inheritance for you. God has some blessings for you. God still has victory for you in your Christian life. And we need to claim our inheritance in these different ways. Lost people must choose to claim the inheritance of salvation and a home in heaven. They have to claim it, right? It's not just everybody's. Yes, Jesus Christ died for the whole world, but every person must claim it. Every one of my children must for themselves receive the gift of God and receive the gift of eternal life. They've got to claim that inheritance for themselves. Every one of you, there must come a time in your life or your husband's life or your children's life or your parents' life where every person must for themselves choose to receive Jesus Christ as a personal Savior and be born again and then have that inheritance of eternal life and a home in heaven. It must be chosen. It must be accepted freely. We must choose it. Lost people must claim the promise of the Word of God in order to receive Christ and be born again into God's family and to have everlasting life. Saved people must claim the inheritance that God wants to give them of rewards in heaven. God's blessing in this life do not come without our obedience to the Word of God. For us to think, oh God, it'd be wonderful to be in heaven and have your rewards. We don't get rewards if we've not obeyed the Lord. We won't have any rewards if we've not obeyed Christ. If we're going to have those, we need to obey the Word of God, obey the Lord. God's rewards in heaven are not handed out without our claiming them, without us striving for them. God will reward righteous living. God will reward faithfulness. God will reward those who follow Christ. God will reward those who seek to win souls. Every Christian should seek to possess the inheritance that God wants to give you. Every child of God should work to obtain rewards in heaven. I'm glad we don't work to obtain our salvation. The Bible is very clear on that. We cannot. We don't work to obtain our salvation. But if we look at 1 Corinthians 3, we strive together with God and labor together with God to build on a certain foundation in our life that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And then to what? To somewhat build a house, to build a life that when we stand before God will be a life that won't be burned up by the fire, a life that lasts, a life that was enduring, not wood, hay, stubble, but things that will come forth as gold, silver, precious stones. We need to labor and live a life that God can reward, that God can bless. God's people should also claim God's promise that we might have the fullness of God's Spirit in our lives. We should seek to do God's work and seek to win the loss and so on, but we need God's power to do it. Great and mighty things can be accomplished even today if God's people would claim their rightful inheritance to have God's power in our lives. God's people must claim God's promises to have their prayers answered. We need to pray in true faith, expecting God to answer. He doesn't always answer according to our timetable, according to our plan. I'm sincere. We fasted and prayed, and I never gave up praying. But I honestly, I believe that I was to the place, and you know, and some of you prayed with me, I believed in utter faith. Last year, almost a year ago now, I went to that meeting with all my heart, believing that God was going to give us that building in Richmond Hill. But He didn't at that time. But you know what? Maybe God had something else He wanted us to wait for. Maybe God has something for us now, and that's what we're praying about. We need to claim answers to prayer. Pray in faith, expecting and believing that God is going to answer. Claim the promises of the Word of God and claim answer to prayer in your life. I say this, God wants to give us an inheritance. We need to claim that inheritance. Thirdly, it's possible for us to forfeit our inheritance. Or it's possible for us to waste our inheritance. Listen, don't waste the things that God has promised for you. Don't give up the eternal rewards of God because we're more concerned with living for self. Don't lose the blessings of God upon your life because of sin. Don't miss out. Some people will miss out on having a home in heaven because they're so stubborn that they won't receive Christ. Some of you will get so stubborn that you're not going to change me. I'm not going to listen to that. Don't think you're ever going to change me. How sad that stubbornness will keep some people from being, causing some people to be willing to listen to the gospel, receive Christ. Don't live life without knowing the fullness of God's Holy Spirit power. Don't go through your entire life having never won a soul to Christ. Don't live for multiple causes without ever giving yourself to God's cause. Don't work hard every day developing your career and your life without ever having done your part and so on in the work of God. Don't build up financial strongholds for yourself without ever having invested sacrificially in the things of eternity. Don't live life without ever having learned and experienced the verse where the Bible says the just shall live by faith. Learn what it's like to live a life of faith. Don't live the Christian life without ever having personally experienced and known what it's like to walk with God and to walk with the Lord. Don't just believe in God without ever having learned to pray. Don't just pray casually without ever having learned to get your prayers answered. Don't just read the Bible without ever having claimed God's promises. Don't die and go to hell without Christ when God invites us to become His child and have a home in heaven. Don't live life without hope and peace when God says He wants us to have peace. Don't stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ one day ashamed because we missed out and we didn't do what He wanted us to do. Don't live the Christian life powerless when God wants to show His power through you. Don't be depressed when God wants to make you happy. Don't make the Christian life dull and boring when God says we can have fullness of joy and an abundant life. Don't live life weak when God promises that we can have His strength. Don't live life in the flesh when God wants us to live it in the Spirit. Don't live the Christian life defeated by sin when God says we can have victory over temptation and sin. Don't live a casual Christian life without ever having really served the Lord. Don't go without the things that God wants to give you. Don't live life without having known the things that God wants for you to do and doing it. Don't go without your inheritance. Don't go leaving rewards unclaimed. Have you ever read before, and I just thought of this now, I didn't study it out, but I've read somewhere before that it is just incredible the percentage of gift cards and so on that go without ever being redeemed. Like, I'm talking about millions, and it's probably even hundreds of millions of dollars, hundreds of million dollars here in North America that is gift cards are purchased and then people never redeem them. Whether they lose it, whether they forget about it, whether they just don't care, whether they become... Amazing to think that that would go... Listen, it wouldn't go unredeemed in our place. And to think that so much could go never being used, just being wasted like that. Listen, don't waste when God has rewards for you. Don't miss out on the inheritance that God has for you. Don't let it go unclaimed. Don't let your power source, this Holy Spirit, go unused or neglected or forgotten in your life. God wants to give us an inheritance, and we need to claim it. I say this, number four, if you've been wasting your inheritance, it's not too late for you to regain something. If you've been wasting, it's not too late for you to regain something. Though, you know, God can choose sometimes where we may suffer a little punishment or consequences because we didn't obey Him. But you know what? It takes an awful lot for God just to say, I'm never going to, I could never use you again. I've met in my life some good people, some Christian people being used of God. Who maybe earlier in their life they made some mistakes, they made some wrong choices, they went some wrong directions, and because of sin, because of those things, maybe they suffered some consequences of that in their life. Maybe they missed out on some things that they could have done. Maybe there are ways God could have used them that He no longer could. But you know what, I've known some people that were still later in life tremendous Christians, godly Christians being used by the Lord and being faithful in church and so on, who maybe wasted some things, wasted some inheritance, wasted some years. I'm glad that God is a very forgiving God. And even if we've wasted some time, wasted some years, wasted some things in our life, maybe missed out on some of the things we could have had, I'm glad that God will forgive and God will take us back and God will restore and God still loves us. He is so merciful. There are still things that we might possess. We think of the promised land for the Jews, and thank God there was a generation that did finally claim that inheritance. But sadly, one generation lost it. They wasted it. To think that all that they had seen, it could have been theirs, but they lost it. They forfeited it. It's not too late for you to live a victorious Christian life. Not too late for you to possess the blessings of God. Not too late for you to learn to pray. Not too late for you to claim God's promises. Not too late for you to learn to live by faith. Not too late for you to learn to get your prayers answered. Not too late for you to know God's power. Not too late for you to be used by God. Not too late to bring somebody with you to heaven. To win somebody to Christ. Not too late to earn some rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. Not too late to lay up treasures in heaven. It's not too late. We need to claim the inheritance that God has for us. There's still an inheritance that we might claim. The prodigal son, remember that story? He was taken back by his father. And his father still loved him. And his father still threw for him a feast and gave him a royal robe. Yes, he had gone out and he had lost and he had wasted probably the majority of his inheritance. But there was still a place for him at home. There were still things for him at home. There was still a father back at home that loved that prodigal son and still had much that he wanted to give him and do for him. There's always still an inheritance that we might claim. There are still rewards that we might earn. There are still prayers that God will answer. There is still power from God that we might have. You think about Samson, the story of Samson and Delilah in the Bible, and that Nazirite vow was the key to the great power in his life, but when he started messing around with women, he sure got himself in trouble, and he ended up revealing his secret to Delilah, and he got his hair cut off, and he lost his power, and he got his eyes smoked out, and he had to do a grind at the millstone like they might sometimes even use animals to do. Remember, there is a little part of the verse in the Bible there, his hair grew again. And thank God, the significant thing is, one day God, in his death, God gave him power again, that in his death, he destroyed more of the enemies and the Philistines than he ever had in his life. God still had some power for him. He forfeited a lot because of sin, but there was still power available to him. There's still an inheritance that you can claim. There's still rewards that you can earn in heaven. There are still prayers that God can answer for you if you learn to pray. There is still power from God that you can have in your life. There's still a home in heaven and salvation, even if somebody's wasted a good portion of their life. You know what? I believe. I'm simple enough to believe that, the thief on the cross that was being crucified there because he was a criminal, he'd done wrong. At first, he was a man who obviously didn't believe. The Bible does use the plural talking about them. At first, they were mocking and so on, but obviously something happened and convicted that man's heart and changed that man's heart. And then Jesus was able to, it's just simple words that he prayed to the Lord or said to the Lord, but Jesus' words to him was, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." You know what? He may have wasted a whole lot of his life, but there was still salvation available for him in his dying hour. You may waste your life not living for God, and a person can be saved even in their old age or on their deathbed, but that's only because of the grace and mercy of God. But if you waste your life, there will not have been opportunity for you to earn rewards. There will not have been opportunity for you to know the joy of serving Christ and so on. Don't waste it. Don't waste it. If you're saved here tonight, will you claim your inheritance? We decide to lay up treasures in heaven. Invest your time and treasure in the things that are eternal. Will you recognize the fact that you'll stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ? Will you seek to earn the rewards in heaven that God wants to give you? Will you be faithful to obey God's word completely? Will you follow Christ wholeheartedly? Will you be busy serving Christ? Will you live your life for yourself or for God's cause? Will you seek to do your own will or God's will? Will you seek to have God's power on your life? Will you beg God for His fullness and His Spirit? Will you pray? To think that God wants us to pray. I've read the story before, probably told it before, but just thought of it now. And perhaps it was John R. Rice maybe that told a story of maybe of a dream that he had and imagined himself going to heaven Christ or someone going him and opening up a door and showing him these things. And, what's all this? And imagined in that story or in that dream that these were all things that God could have given him. These were all things that God wanted to do for him in his lifetime, but he never received them. Listen, let's not miss out on things because we don't pray. Let's claim God's promises. Let's claim God's power. Let's claim answers to prayer. Let's live a life that we can claim and receive the rewards that God wants to give us one day. Don't miss out. God has an inheritance. God has a spiritual inheritance. God has things that He wants for us. Don't just wander in the wilderness all your life. Walk in the land of the inheritance. Walk in the land of that inheritance. Receive and seize and what God wants you to have. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I ask You to help us, Lord, that we would not miss out, and that we'd not forfeit, that we'd not waste things that You'd have for us. God, will help us to realize that there is so much that You want to give us, so much You want to do for us. And help us to seize that. Help us to walk in the land of inheritance. Father, help us to learn to pray. Help us to get our prayers